the findings of the Commission's report into mental health. What can you tell us?
Well, it's not easy to summarise them because there are over 100 what they call actions that the Commission recommends that the federal, state and territory governments take. And within each of these 100 actions, there are a whole lot of different sub-recommendations. But I can give you some flavour of major things. So they recognise that mental health problems often have their origin early in life. So they're saying we need to do more about prevention and early intervention with families in preschools and schools. They also recognise that there's been a big shift towards telehealth and online services. And that's an area in which Australia's already a world leader. But the report recommends that major integration and expansion of those approaches. Interesting thing for universities and other tertiary education institutions, the Commission's recommending that mental health be a central part of the mission of those institutions. And they also include in that the need for better services for international students. Workplaces are seen as important. Mentally healthy workplaces are important for productivity. So they've got a whole lot of recommendations covering psychological health and safety, employers' duty of care, workers' compensation claims, and standards for employee assistant providers. Quite a bit on Indigenous Australians. We know they have a much higher risk of mental health problems and suicide. So there's recommendations about empowering Indigenous communities, including a role for traditional Aboriginal healers. Another area emphasis is that people have severe mental illnesses like schizophrenia, they have much poorer physical health. Not many people realise this. They have substantially reduced life expectancy and much poorer physical health. And a lot could be done about this. So there tends to be more attention given to the person's mental health than their physical health. So a lot of recommendations about improved physical health care. And I think the really important thing about the report in general is that it's put out by a body, the Productivity Commission, that is not a health body. It's an economic productivity body. So they've realised that this is a whole of government need for action. So they've got a lot of recommendations on things outside the health sector, like housing, justice and income support, as well as things you might expect on health. So I think that gives you a flavour of some of them, but over 100 recommendations or areas of action, I can't summarise them all, but I think that gives you a flavour of some of the major emphases in the report.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to sort of focus on one thing you mentioned right there, this one being put out by the Productivity Commission. Obviously, in recent years, we've talked more and more about mental health and raised awareness around mental health, but it's obviously, it's often addressed as an individual issue, and we hear about individual stories. It seems like, is this a slightly different approach to say, well, let's look at this from the economic perspective, and that economic cost of $220 billion a year, obviously that is something that needs to be taken seriously from an economic perspective, but is this a slightly different approach?
I think it is, because usually what is done is that people look at the health impact alone, but you've got to look at the effect that mental health problems have, like people may not be able to function in the workplace, for example, would be important. So there's a productivity issue there. People end up in, you know, contact with the criminal justice system, you know, so there's a cost there. It might have produced difficulties in people completing their education in the minimum time or dropping out from educational programs. So all of those things have, you know, an impact across the whole of society. So it's beyond the individual. And I think it's not only the cost. I mean, the headlines when this was announced were all about the cost, but what the economists behind the Productivity Commission came up with was the costing of the benefits as well. Mm. So they costed all these recommendations that they made, and they say that if they're all implemented, they would be a net saving to the economy in doing it.
Well, it seems like an obvious win-win sort of situation to implement some of these. But what kind of barriers do we see perhaps in actually putting some of these recommendations into action?
Well, it requires action from multiple levels of government. So that's, you know, the federal government as well as states and territories, and in some cases probably local government as well. And also action even outside government in areas like workplaces and universities. So that is one difficulty in it all. But I think that the major problem is that We see in the mental health area that reform has been very piecemeal. It's what I'd call lobbyist-led reform. So, you know, organisations or individuals lobby government ministers, and then when it's election time or there's a budget, they put out some goodies there that make a nice announcement about something being done. But it's not really the type of level of reform that we need. And what we have here is a huge total package. And if we did it all, Australia would be the world leader, I think, in the mental health area. Everybody would be looking to us for where things should be going. And I think the real danger is that this will be just seen as a menu, instead of a package of what we should do. It's a menu and you pick out a couple of items and announce them in the next budget. Mm. I think that's the real danger in all this, and the rest gets ignored.
And obviously this report is quite comprehensive, as you pointed out there before, Tony. But looking for any recommendations within your personal view, is there anything that you feel is missing when looking at combating the problem?
Look, I think overall it's a terrific report. But the one area that I think I would have liked to see more emphasis in is in even more on prevention, particularly the prevention of what I call adverse childhood experiences. So these can involve things like growing up in a family where there's a lot of conflict, where there's poverty, where there are major health problems with family members, or at the extreme it could be emotional or physical or sexual abuse. They're all called childhood adversity. And they're clearly risk factors for mental health problems, not only in childhood, but right across the lifespan, like right through to older people. You look at older people with mental health problems, and they have, back in childhood, they have more of these childhood adversities. And they're across the whole spectrum of mental health. So you can look at every type of mental illness, and you find these are important risk factors there. And I think we're not going to get a really good reduction in the prevalence of mental health problems until we deal with these adverse childhood experiences. And I would have liked to have seen a bit more emphasis on that in the report.
Well, Tony, I do appreciate you joining us on this one and unpacking it for us a little bit.
I'm glad to do it. Thank you for asking me.